That was very well done.
Really like lady like this.
Welcome to Girl Hour.
I'm a frishy looking.
There's a lovely blanket.
You are our first male guest.
You're our first.
He's like, I can tell.
Maybe the last.
You'll survive it.
Hi everyone, welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast. This is where Joyce teaches the Word of God in her practical, no-nonsense way. And my friends and I talk about the real stuff of living it and hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Cluley and Jay, three friends who understand the importance of having honest, loving women around you. And when we need a little extra help, we ask Miss Joyce, who's here with us today.
And I'm here to help.
Exactly. And you're all with us today as friends who are here to talk it out. And we have something we have never had on the show before.
So exciting.
We have a male.
Yay!
Welcome, Dave Meyer.
I am on the spot.
Yes, you are.
It's so fun to have you with us. We're really looking forward to this. I think it's going to help a lot of people, give some great advice. We're talking about marriage. So, marriage is what brings us together today. This is what stuck in my mind. I don't know why. But there are so many aspects of different places. We talk about how we're in different stages of life.
Yeah.
And everyone listening is in a different place in their own relationship. So we're going to dig right into your relationship as well as ours and everybody else's. So why don't we start by you guys telling us how long you've been married and just give us a little background.
Well, we've been married 54 long.
Long, long.
Wonderful years. And I would say most of them have been pretty great. The early years were a little tough because I had been sexually abused by my dad and had all kinds of problems, but didn't know I did. I thought everybody else had the problems, and if they would just do what I wanted them to, we'd all be fine.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty rough on Dave those first few years, but he's so easygoing that he managed it better than most people would. And so what was it like for you in those early years?
Well, I have a survival mentality.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was the early years were tough because... You know, not only had you been abused by your father, but you'd been abandoned by your mother and rejected by your first husband. So you came in loaded for bear.
Yeah.
Because you had all this stuff penned up inside of you, and I was the one who was going to get it released on me. Yeah. And so I
truly didn't know I had a problem.
No, you didn't.
I mean, I just thought
everybody
would just do. Why doesn't everybody do what I want them to, you know?
I didn't know you had a problem either.
I know. I remember Dave and I had been married just about 3 weeks, and he looked at me one day and he said, "What is wrong with you?" And I wasn't real sure that anything was wrong with me. But even then, we look back, we talk about it, and we sound like it was all terrible, but we had fun even then.
Yeah. And, well, you guys definitely have a lot of fun today. I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Because you guys, you have to know this. Joyce was already here with us, and then Dave walked in. And Joyce, tell them what you said.
Well, the first thing I said is, why didn't you wear the shirt that we agreed that you were going to wear? He had me go in his closet and approve the shirt that he had out, and then he shows up in something else. And he asked me, can I wear a polo shirt? And I said, no, wear a dress shirt. And here he is in a polo shirt that says boss on it, of all things.
And? I said it's the shirt you approve, not the shirt I approve. And I said,
why did you ask me to approve it?
Oh, well, you know, this is real life. This is real life. This is how it goes.
Yeah.
Right. Something that I just kind of feel like I want to start with is I know that there's all kinds of people that you're on the verge of divorce, or you're contemplating divorce, or you just feel like you don't know if you can make it with this person that you're married to. But I just really want to encourage people to try to make the one you've got work, because there aren't any perfect relationships. And if you throw one away, think you're going to get another one that's going to be different. Mm. It may have not the same problems as your first one, but there's going to be problems. We always say the grass is not always greener on the other side. And I just felt like I really wanted to encourage you to, you know, realize that we haven't been married 54 years because it's all been easy. We made a commitment to God, and He's been in the midst of our relationship, and I'm sure that there were many times that Dave stuck it out because of his love for God, and, you know, many times when I didn't give up because of my love for God. And that's important, that you really make a decision, if you're a Christian, that you're going to do what you believe God would have you do, not just what you feel like doing.
I think that's so great, because there's something in working. There's something in God doing something in a relationship between two people. And so we want to talk more about that, to give people the tips and the fuel that they need. At the same time, Joyce, you've been through a divorce.
Right.
So you also know the other side of that. And Jay's sitting here going through a very difficult time in her life where things are not always the way that you want it to be, I guess is the right thing to say.
Well, I married the first guy that paid any attention to me, because I thought nobody would ever really want me because of what my dad had done to me. And so I got married when I was 18, and I married a guy that was 19. And I don't know which one of us had more problems, you know. And a lot of times I say desperate people do desperate, dumb things. Mm-hmm. And many times you just grab at anything for fear of having nothing. And it's really not even fair to say that we had a five-year marriage, because we were separated those 5 years more than we were together. Mm-hmm. And on two different occasions, he abandoned me in other states. And I mean, just left one day to go to work and never came back.
Yeah.
And so on top of the rejection I'd already experienced, more rejection wasn't really what I needed,
so
but I got it. And so we were married 5 years. He ran around with other women. He was a petty crook. He wrote bad checks all the time, and ended up, shortly after our divorce, he ended up going to prison.
You know, when we got married, because of the hurt that Joyce experienced, she came in with a controlling spirit. In other words, she wanted to control the situations, because she knew if she controlled, or felt if she controlled the situations, that she wouldn't get hurt again. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that happens in a lot of marriages. I think what happens is a lot of whether it's a man or a woman, comes into a situation where they've been, into a marriage where they've been hurt in some way, abused in some way, then they come in with that controlling spirit. And a lot of times what you have on the other side is a person that allows themselves to be controlled. Mm-hmm. And when you have a controlling spirit and a person that allows themselves to be controlled, you have a situation that has to end up in disaster.
Right.
You know, there's no way around it, unless that person realizes or learns that they can do something about it. They don't have to stay in that situation, but they have to have knowledge in that area. And that's why the Word of God is so important, because the Word of God reveals your position in a marriage, and you can't succumb to a person controlling you, because if you do, you're actually hurting yourself and that person.
Timing is very important in a situation like that.
Yeah.
And Dave was very long-suffering and patient with me for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then he finally did start confronting me. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, it was like a nightmare when he did, because I just blew up. But probably if he would have done it any sooner than he did, I would have probably just left.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage people that it's... Yeah. You know, if you're in a situation where you're being controlled, or you've let somebody control you and you feel like you need to confront them, you need to make sure that you pray and make sure you have the time right, and not just do it on your own timetable.
No, how'd you know it was the right time to say something?
Actually, the Holy Spirit. And I would pray in situations. I'd go off and pray. But when I pray, I wouldn't just pray that I saw something that I thought was wrong in Joyce, or she was doing it she shouldn't have been doing. I would pray also that God would show me if I'm not seeing this thing right, and reveal to me the truth, you know, if I'm so that I can change. And I think you have to be open-minded when you pray. You have to have that open mind, because if you pray, if you go in with a judgmental attitude praying, you know, that's a situation where God can't really do anything because you're really hindering him from doing it. You're judging the whole situation instead of letting God judge it. And so, you know, that's, and also when I confronted her, when the Holy Spirit told me, now it's time, now she's ready, confront her. And when I did, if I'd have confronted her before that, it would have been, I would have felt bad. But when I did, I felt total peace. I felt peace about confronting her, and
I didn't, but he did.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody did.
She was like a bull in the china closet.
Oh, I was so mad.
Oh, yeah, she was very mad. But it's like I felt this peace, and it was like, let her be mad. Let her be mad. She'll get through it, and when she does, she'll get set free.
But know? that didn't come automatically for you. I know you've said that you were at a point where you were just in tears and didn't know what to do.
That came over a period of time because I was trying to, you know, deal with the situation and learning what to do and how to apply the Word of God. And as I did, as I applied the Word of God, learned what to do and applied the Word of God, that then you know, God began to give me, you know, understanding and clarity in the whole situation.
Yeah.
And getting that, and then the Holy Spirit said, now it's time. And at that time, I wanted to
jump in and just say thank you both for being so honest and transparent about your relationship. Mm-hmm. And I really encourage all the women that are watching this, possibly have your husbands watch this episode, because had more people done this, I think there could have been potential for what happened in my marriage not to have happened. If more leaders in the faith would be honest about the trials of marriage, but also understanding like the leading of the Holy Spirit. We say it all the time, but when it actually comes time to practice it, it's a little challenging. So a lot of times I believe with my ex-husband, like I came in with a lot of baggage as well from my marriage, which was one of the reasons why at the end, after I found out about the affair, after I found out about everything, I was really just at a place where I was like, I'm willing to try to make it work. Yeah. I wanted to try to make my relationship work, but he was so checked out by this time and didn't have a lot of males in his life speaking that truth of leading and asking God for wisdom on how to help someone that had been so damaged. So I do want to thank you guys for sharing the honesty of the trials of marriage, and also just encouraging those that are watching, like maybe ask your spouse to watch this, because this is very, very helpful.
Yeah.
It's late for me, but it's helpful.
Most of the time it's a lack of knowledge of what to do in given situations, you know. But then when you get the knowledge, then you have to apply that knowledge.
Yeah,
and so there's two things. There's two things that have to happen. First, gaining the knowledge, then applying the knowledge. And if you don't apply the knowledge, you gain the knowledge and don't apply the knowledge, then, you know, the situation can't change.
Usually people just get angry.
Yeah.
And they don't really deal with it on any kind of a spiritual level.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Dave did, and I think this is something very important for our viewing audience to hear today, was Dave decided that he couldn't do anything to make me happy. But he decided he was going to be happy and enjoy his life anyway.
That's good.
And I think so many people, you let your joy be dependent on what the other person is doing. And actually, initially, it angered me that I was so unhappy and he was so happy.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to care.
This isn't right.
Then, over a long period of time, it became a really great witness to me that he was so stable.
Yeah.
And it made me hungry for the joy that he had.
Yeah.
And kind of showed me that, you know, you can have joy even if the other person's not doing everything you want them to.
Yeah.
And I just think that's really important. If you're in a marriage that is challenging or difficult, don't let the other person make you unhappy all the time. Do what you can to make them happy. But if they're not going to be happy, I remember Dave said to me, he said, I've tried everything I know, and you're obviously not going to be happy, so I'm not going to try anymore. You can be unhappy if you want to, but I'm going to enjoy my life and be happy.
I told her I'll love you and show love to you, but it's your choice to receive that love. You know,
it had to be hard sometimes to keep loving when...
Oh, it was hard. Well, there were times when she would stay mad at me and wouldn't say a word to me for weeks. Mm. One time, 3 weeks, wouldn't say a word.
You little
my
spitfire.
Word. Oh, well, she was a spitfire.
Determined.
She was a spitfire. Yeah. But, of course, that's why I married her, that spitfire. I like that, you know, spitfire in her.
He likes a challenge, and he got one.
Yeah. But, you know, at that time was when I really learned the Holy Spirit showed me, you know, you can enjoy your life. Just go on and enjoy your life. And it, like she was saying, it made her real mad. Real mad, but...
Boy, was I mad.
It didn't bother me at all. You know, usually something like that would affect a person and cause them to change what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But I had such a peace about it that I was doing the right thing.
And it bothered me that it didn't bother him.
Sure. So did you think through this, you know, I need to get out of here? This isn't working for me? Or did you want what he had and that kept you there?
No, I never really thought about leaving Dave. I don't know why, because things were such a mess, but I guess, you know, deep down inside, I knew he was right. Hmm. Yeah. But I hadn't come far enough in my walk with God to where I really was ready to do something about it until one day, and I still remember exactly where we were at in the house. He was getting something out of his closet, and I was being a smart aleck like I usually was and giving him trouble. And he said, he just looked at me and he said, you know what? He said, if I depended on you to make me feel like a man, I would be in big trouble. Mm. And he said, I just want to tell you that I'm not real sure how long I can put up with this, but I don't think I can put up with it forever.
Yeah.
And that actually really put the fear of God in me, because I knew from my experience with Dave that he wasn't the type to just make idle threats. Mm-hmm. I knew that if he said something, that he meant it. And so I really started trying to behave better. And I remember after about a year, I said to him, well, you know, I'm doing better, aren't I? I'm doing a lot better. And he said, yeah, some. And I thought, wow. But, you know, the other thing that I wanted to make sure that we tell people today is that one of the biggest mistakes that people make in marriage is they start trying to change each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You don't like what the other person's doing, so you try to change them. You try to make them be different. And why don't you speak to that?
I think the best marriage is when a husband allows the wife to be herself, and when a wife allows the husband to be themselves. That's the way we are now. I mean, we allow each other to be ourselves, you know, and don't.
And we're both imperfect.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean we don't do things wrong or even. Well, actually, we haven't had words for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Just about
a lot
the shirt.
Of people call them, a lot of people call them arguments. I call them heated discussions, you know. And we haven't had that for a long, long time. But it's because we have given each other the freedom to be ourselves, you know. And really, that's really how the two become one flesh. Because
you know, you accept the person's flaws.
Yeah,
and you almost like things that used to make me so mad that Dave would do. Now they're almost funny. They're almost humorous to me.
Almost,
like
you said.
Play golf.
Yeah, almost.
Like play golf. She used to fight me for playing golf. She used to say, "You got it. You can't play golf. You can't play golf." And I said, "Well, I'm going to play golf." And
I'm glad he met too.
So over a long period of time, now she's got to the point over all those years. Now she's got to the point where she says, "Why don't you go play golf?"
Yeah. She's like, "You
play
leave
golf.
go.
So how do you determine like what are the things that are important enough to have a heated conversation about, and what are the things that you just let go and give them just the room to be themselves?
Well, obviously, if what somebody's doing is sinful,
sure,
you know, you would need to confront that. Mm-hmm. But most of the things that people end up getting a divorce over really. Not in all situations, you know, there's adultery and things like that, or drugs or alcohol abuse. But I would say the majority of things that people get divorces for are just incompatibility. Well, mm-hmm. Who is compatible?
Right.
I mean, really, nobody is unless you decide to be on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of learn to pick your battles.
Yeah.
And like Dave knows my personality. It's a little bit... I guess sassy would be a good word for it. You know,
I wrote a good poem on that one time.
I've usually got something to say about everything.
My sassy lassie.
Yeah.
Sassy lassie.
And
I'll read your poem.
It really means a lot to me that he lets me be myself.
Yeah.
I don't feel pressured to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dave loves sports, and I don't really care anything about any of them. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was a big thing for a long time. You just, you can't make somebody not like something if yeah. they like it.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah. you can't, like, he's got a little more of a laid-back personality, and I'm more aggressive, and, you know, I always tried to make him be more aggressive, and he finally told me one day, he said, you better thank God I am the way I am, yeah. or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so really, so often God gives us the perfect person.
Yeah.
But we stay so busy trying to make them be what we think they should be
yeah.
that you never realize that God's given you what you need.
Well, yeah. actually what happens is most of the time in marriages, you're opposites, you know?
Yeah,
the
tell me about it.
Opposite of what? and so what happens is you try and make the person be the way you are, and yeah, you've actually yeah. married them because yeah. they have attributes that you don't have.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to make them be like you, and really, it's really not what you want.
No.
But Dave, yeah. I know the right way.
I've seen so many people these days get, like, divorced over such little things. Like, yeah. even if
exactly.
you would have, like, a younger couple yeah. that are newer couple, like, would have still been upset about the polo shirt thing.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, I mean, y'all just sitting here, I'm like, oh, yeah. you're not mad about that. You're not mad about that. You know, like, you know, but people these days are literally, I had a conversation with someone the other day, I'm like, seriously, that's why you're getting a divorce? Like, yeah. like everybody's just so quick to yeah. let things go and hold on to the most
exactly.
petty arguments.
Exactly.
And, like, I love that, like, to see how you all just kind of, like, it was a moment. You still were a little upset yeah. about it. You're like, yeah. I picked the shirt out. Yeah. But then you're like, now y'all are laughing about.
Yeah. You know, we joke about things, mistakes. Yeah. You know,
it didn't really
things,
make me mad because I know no. how he is.
But I love that. Anyway. I love that, though. The younger, like, couples yeah. now.
But yeah. you have to learn
yeah.
that.
You have to learn
it
that.
It takes time. Tim and I are very different. I mean, we're opposites. And I am very hard to live with. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just headstrong, fiercely independent.
Yeah.
And so in the beginning, we had a lot to learn through
yeah.
that. I
sure.
had a lot
yeah,
to learn,
sure.
and we had a lot to figure out together. But you do tend to not only come together, but you learn how to do things differently mm-hmm. for one another without changing
mm-hmm.
who you are.
Yeah.
So I was laughing yesterday when we were at a drugstore and we were waiting in line for the pharmacy, and the line was long. So of course I didn't have a lot of patience for that, and I was getting bored. And so I had a bottle of vitamins in my hand, and they're playing Muzak over the speakers. And so I started shaking the bottle with the music and kind of dancing around. And Tim, when we first got married, would be like, stop it. Because he'd be so embarrassed. Because basically I've embarrassed him for 36 years now. So but this time he just looks at me and he just knows it's going to happen. So then we're walking through the aisles more, and I thought he was pushing me. And I said, do you want me to turn? Why are you pushing me? And he said, I was trying to hold your hand.
Oh, perspective.
And I said, oh, it felt like you were shoving me. And he goes, oh, yeah, because that works so well on you. So anyway, we still have a lot to learn. But I'm so interested, Jay, in what you said earlier, because you said something about your own situation and that it's too late for me.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for sharing what you're sharing. And I think that's really important, because I want to think about all of the people, all of our friends who are watching right now, and the different situations
mm-hmm.
that we're all in.
Yeah.
And I think of you and Mike, too, and what you've been through recently, and mm-hmm. just different things that are happening in their lives. And for you, is it important for you to see a hope for love in the future, you know, to learn, mm-hmm. like we all need to learn, okay, what are my possibilities? What can God do?
Oh, it's 100%.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely, that's why I always am grateful for the way that you share your entire story,
yeah.
you know, because it helps you feel like, okay, there's light at yeah. the other end of the tunnel. Because honestly, I'm just saying, because my divorce wasn't final until like a few months ago. Like, I've been going through this for a while, but my divorce wasn't final until a few months ago. And honestly, I was at a place where I'm like, I don't know if I can trust anyone again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I can get to the point where, and then I'm like, because everybody wants you to just move on. Christians, you know, like, want you to just move forward. I am moving forward, but I still have moments. I still
mm-hmm.
have healing that I'm going through. But to hear that you still, even in your marriage,
yeah.
Like, you, God gave you someone that could that could deal with where you are. Because I just shared recently some positions of where I was in my, I went to my first wedding after being divorced. And that was the most difficult environment to be in, to be at all. Like, and it was people that I loved. It was people that I was happy for, that I actually, before I even found out about the divorce, I was like counseling, like helping them, you know, because that's what I've been doing for years, you know. But then to feel like, oh my gosh, everything that I've ever told me, like, I'm not even worthy of, I can't say anything about this anymore. And so to hear you being able to know that you've gone through that and still be able to, God, restore your heart and have someone that comes into your life to that can help you heal through that, I think it's so important.
Well, I just really, I really want to convey the message to people to stop looking for reasons to get a divorce and start looking for reasons to stay together. You know, don't think about the good things and not just the bad things. I actually remember one time, God put this on my heart. I was mad at Dave about something, and and
you're kidding.
You know, you never knew that, did you?
She hit it so well.
I took out a piece of paper and I made a list of everything that I didn't like about Dave. And then I made a list of everything that I did like about him. And you know, the amazing thing was the list of things I liked was so much longer than the list of things that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But we tend to focus on the few things that we don't like.
Did that surprise you when you saw the
list?
Yeah,
it did. It did. Yeah. It did. Because you, I had only focused on, well, he's not this and he's not this, or he is this and he is that. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are still married, is because Dave has always been a real positive person. And he is easygoing. You know, he's not quick to get angry. And I think that he looked at the good parts more than he looked at the bad parts. And I don't know of anybody that could stay married if all you do is look at what's wrong with the other person all the time. Because what you focus on becomes magnified. It becomes bigger than what it really actually is in your life.
You know, you can in any relationship, it's not going to be perfect. Doesn't matter what relationship it is, it's not going to be perfect. And it's amazing how people come into marriage and think it's going to be a perfect relationship. You know, and
that's
so they get out of
marriage.
They get out of marriage because it's not a perfect relationship. Yet they'll have a relationship with somebody else where it's not a perfect relationship and continue that relationship. So it's really the devil. He gets in there and he starts working on things and starts to really get you in an area. You know, one of the things I'd like to talk about here was Joyce, when we got in a heated discussion.
Oh, Joyce.
She would, she would remember things from years ago. And I said, where do you put all this stuff? How do you, I'd forget it. After we had a discussion, I'd forget
it.
The next day, I forget it. And I'd say, you must have a computer for a brain. How do you keep all that stuff and remember all that stuff? I said, I couldn't remember last week what we argued about, you know. And so,
see, the Bible says love takes no account of the evil done to it. In other words, it doesn't keep records of wrongs. And so, and now I'm not that way anymore. Now, I mean, maybe I could remember Dave and I having a couple of arguments in the last year, but I really couldn't tell you what they were about.
Yes.
No, because I do forgive and let go of things really fast. Yes. And that's so important in a marriage, because if you don't let go of it, the longer you hang on to it, the bigger it's going to seem to you. And it's just, all I can say is do everything you can to make the one you've got work. And like I said, there's times when it won't. And I realize there are serious situations. You don't want to let somebody abuse you, you know, there's definitely reasons why it won't work. But I'm talking mainly about the people that just, they let petty things become major things. Or somebody does do something wrong in a relationship and the person just, you just won't forgive them. I just won't forgive you.
I'm not going to forgive you.
You know, I mean, you've been through that. You've had things you've had to forgive, and
hard things to forgive.
Very hard things to forgive, and things you could have easily said, you know, I'm getting a divorce, and felt justified in doing it.
Yeah.
But you made a decision that you wanted to do it God's way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not easy to live with either. Yeah. I'll just throw that out there because I said that.
Well, let me just say, Dave's not as perfect as everybody thinks he is.
I'm so glad that we did make the decisions that we made, that we worked through things. Yeah. And they were things that God helped us and we could work through. And not everybody is in that situation. I understand.
Well, Jay's husband wouldn't work through
it. Exactly. Especially. And that's one of the things that I'm the most grateful for.
You can't do it by yourself.
In the moment, like, I felt like stupid. Because I wanted to have that moment, like, once you find out about, you know, like, your husband cheating on you or something like that, you just want to have your moment. Like the movies, too. The other movies of the women that bust the windows out the car. I'm sorry. I had a moment. But you want to have that moment of feeling like you've been vindicated. And I wanted to serve him with papers, but God would not allow me to.
No.
He told me to sit still. And I constantly said, I'm married until I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
And I was praying over our marriage. I was asking him, I can't force someone. He served me with papers. And I said, if you did that, then, I mean, I only had 30 days to respond. So I had to sign it back, even though I felt so little doing that. But honestly, on the other side of divorce, I still feel a peace about the fact that I tried. I did everything in my possible. Yeah.
That's good that you have that, that you know that you did the best that you could.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there are people watching today and you're contemplating marriage. You're thinking about getting married. And I just want to tell you that after you get married, you're going to find out things that you don't know right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For example, when Dave and I got married, I did not know he played golf.
And I mean, it's not that golf is a weird, terrible thing, but he played a lot, right?
A lot. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. Nah.
Oh, Dave.
A lot. You're outnumbered here.
Once a week.
Not only was it that, he liked football, baseball, basketball. Yeah. He even started liking sports he didn't even play, tennis and hockey.
I still do.
You know, I said he liked anything that bounced or rolled. He liked it.
I caught Tim watching putt-putt golf on TV one time.
That's putt-putt golf?
Yeah.
Oh, Dave watched bowling.
Yeah, any sport, he's all over it.
And I was just like, really? You know? And
she even bowled in the league when we were younger.
So you are going to find out things that you don't know now, and you need to just set your head for that. You know, when you marry somebody, they come as is. Maybe you haven't seen the little tag on there, but there's an as is tag
there.
On there. That means that, you know, there are going to be some flaws. No, nobody is perfect and without fault, but we normally... We magnify everybody else's and we look at ourselves through what I call rose-colored glasses. You know, we can always make an excuse for us, but for you, there is no excuse.
Yeah. Aaron, you and Mike had a big event not too long ago where you guys made the decision. Tell us a little bit about what you guys did.
So we have been through a really difficult year this past year, and it was the kind where I was listening to you a lot talk about don't focus on the bad and look for the good and stay and make it work. And I can't tell you how helpful that was. So we have just been working on a lot this year and talking through. We're going to stick this out. We know God put us together. So I needed to renew my vows with him because it wasn't so much about a big thing I needed to do. My heart needed to recommit to him that I'm going to stick this out. And you are not perfect. I know more about you now than I knew when I said yes. I don't love everything that you do, but I love you and I choose you. So we renewed our vows a couple weeks ago, and just with my parents and my sister and her husband. And there was something so... special about it because it wasn't about the stuff. It wasn't about the ceremony. It wasn't about the dress. It was, I have committed my life to you and I'm going to stay married to you and vice versa.
Yeah.
So it kind of changed, not changed, but reestablished what marriage means to us.
I think that what you're saying is very important because I do remember a time where I just was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Yes.
I just don't know if I can do this anymore. And not that whatever he was doing was all that terrible, but I had made it out to be. And I remember making a decision that I was committed to this, mm-hmm. and I was not, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that you have to come to that place. Otherwise, you're always going to be going back and forth,
yeah.
and there's always going to be a reason why now you may
yes.
leave or you're not going to make it work.
Yeah.
But that commitment that you mm-hmm. made, you're basically saying, I'm going to stick it out no matter what.
Yep.
Where when people get married, they may say that, but they don't really know what's coming.
Right. Exactly. In the vows that we wrote each other letters, we both said, this is what we promised 11 years ago. We had no idea what that would mean
right.
in actuality.
No, right.
We just were two kids who thought the world was going to be perfect like that Hallmark
right.
movie and everything was going to be rosy. But exactly what you just said, a couple months ago, the Holy Spirit spoke so strongly to me and said, you have to make a decision. You cannot keep saying this or that. You have to decide you're gonna stick this out
right.
and then make your yes be yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
when you do that, you open a door for God to start moving in mm-hmm. your life. Otherwise,
right.
you're basically handling it by yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you make a new commitment, then you're saying, God,
mm-hmm.
I need you. To show me what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
And
you
do that,
you have to accept people with their flaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to. Because they're just not, there's certain things that I'm always going to do. And if Dave wants to stay married to me, he'll just have to put up with it because I'll always do it. And there's certain things.
Check.
But there's certain things that you do too that, you know, could.
I know.
Yeah, you do stuff too. That could, you know, irritate me
mm-hmm.
that
sure
it's just like that's Dave, it's not going to change.
Yeah,
actually
I love him, I'm staying married to him.
Actually yeah. I married her for the fire, you know. That's one of the things I married her for. I like that fire.
Well, it won't go out.
I know that. Well,
if
it does, I stoke the embers.
Yeah.
Anyway, she would when we had heated discussions a long time ago, I'd say, and the way to throw water on her heated discussion was to say, there's that old fire. I love it. Come on. I love that old fire.
He'd make a joke out of it. I'd be spitfire mad, and here he's making a joke out of it.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
I have a quick question. So I'm re-engaging in the dating scene, okay?
You what?
Re-engaging, or like allowing myself, opening my heart
to
date.
To potentially, yes, even mm-hmm. though I was like, but I'm trying.
Yeah.
What was a date like with Dave and Joyce, like in the beginning when he was courting you? How did you court her?
How did I court her?
You only had a few, right?
There wasn't much chance. We actually had five dates.
Okay, well then give me date number three or something.
I went to her house a lot of times, you know, but and spent time with her there, but we actually only had like five official dates. I took her to a basketball game, to a movie, to out the bowl.
And, played poker with his brother one night.
And I knew it was a girl for me when we went out the bowl. And I said, you want something to drink? And she said, yeah, I'll have a beer. And I said, and she said, I'll have a Falstaff. And I said, Falstaff was a beer at that time in St. Louis. And I said, you want a glass? She said, no, I'll drink it out of a bottle. I said, she's a rounder.
The bottle will be just fine.
I just have the bottle.
Oh, I love that so much. I love it.
Will you tell us how you met? I do
yes,
love that story.
I will. This guy I work with in engineering field, he needed a ride home one night. And so I said, sure, I'll give you a ride home. And so when I was pulling up in front of what I didn't know was her parents' home, she was outside washing her car in short shorts. And I said, wow, she's cute. And so then, you had to roll the window down like this. And so I rolled
taking
down the window.
Right now.
I rolled down the window and I said, hey, after you're done washing that car, you want to wash mine? And she looked at me. She stared at me. She says, buddy, if you want your car washed, wash it yourself. And what went off of me like a stick of dynamite was, that's the girl for me. And
I just see it like a cartoon. Yeah, it's like your eyes go,
I said he either had to be a total lunatic or he was being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I actually had prayed. You know, I was dating three girls at the time because I knew it was time to get married. I was 26 years old.
He just didn't believe in prayer. He believed in prayer with
one.
Yes,
I was 26.
Make sure you really hear from God.
26 years old. Had spent 3 years in the service and I come back and it was time to get married. And so I prayed and I said, God, I want to get married and I need to show me who to marry. And I said, give me somebody that needs help. Well, I didn't know at the time when I made that statement to her and she came back at me real sharply. I said,
boy,
I didn't know at the time that she had all these problems. But I thought any normal guy would have ran from this real quick. But it actually just drew me. And so the next day she needed a ride home because her car went to shop. And so the guy that he needed to ride home again. He said, can you pick Joyce up? And I said, yeah. I said, but you're sitting in the back seat. So she sat in the front seat, and I said, so you won't wash my car, huh? And she smiled. And as soon as she did that, it just broke the ice.
Aww.
By the time I got home, got her home, I had her phone number and called her a day later, and it was history after that.
That's so lovely.
And we had 5 dates. I was at her house quite a bit of time, but we had
you
5 days.
You weren't at my house.
Yes, I would. I used to come to your house quite a bit.
My dad was a nut. He didn't let anybody come over there.
But he didn't mess with me.
Well, he worked nights, so you might have come over at night.
I saw him once in a while. Not very often, yeah.
See, but I love this because it's real life. Uh-huh. You know, it's talking. I think people sometimes get this idea of marriage that there shouldn't be any bumps. There shouldn't be, especially a godly marriage, you know. Mm-hmm. We're just going to know through what God's word says how to do this, and it's all going to be perfect. And it doesn't work that way. Yeah. I've got a whole list of scriptures here about marriage. And honestly, so much of it is what you're talking about. It's the Holy Spirit guiding us.
Exactly.
Because it's a walk. It's not here's the answer right here in Ephesians. I mean, yes, it's there. It talks about marriage all through it. But it's so much of God's Spirit helping us and just going through it.
Yeah.
And you know, the bottom line is Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He did not say, if you obey me, I will love you. Mm-hmm. He's already committed to loving us. But he said, if you love me, you will obey me. And I do think that people that have committed their life to Christ, that you need to be willing to do things for the Lord that you might not be willing to do for a person.
Yeah.
And if you will do things because you love God, do them right because you love God, He will make things work out in your life.
Yeah, when I was younger, you know, when we got married, and you know, when I was younger, I had a strong relationship with the Lord. But then when we got married, you know, I had prayed for somebody that needs help. And so when she began to open up, you know, all the things that she had gone through, which I knew nothing about, when she started opening up on that, then, you know, it did not shock me because I had prayed previously that I wanted to help, you know, I wanted somebody that needed help. And so that didn't really shock me. And probably something like that, if you weren't prepared ahead of time, you know, it might have...
Yeah,
really got you in a situation like, whoa, what did I marry here? You know, but as far as her dumping her life on me, that didn't affect me at all. You know,
Joyce, any advice for women in a marriage, going into a marriage, dating, whatever it may be, who have been through abusive situations? What's some advice to help them to begin or make it through a relationship when you've got real hurt?
Well, one of the things that we tend to do is when you've been hurt, abused, mistreated, you feel like you're owed something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in a way you are, but you end up trying to collect from the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
And so my advice is don't marry somebody and then blame them for what somebody else did to you and try to get them to pay you back.
Yeah.
Only God can pay you back.
Yeah.
That's what he taught me. Mm-hmm. Only God, he's our vindicator. Mm-hmm. I will repay, the Lord says. And so if we will do things God's way, he will repay you. I mean, my gosh, we've got such a wonderful life now, and God's allowed us to be in this ministry, and we're getting to help so many people. And who would have ever thought in their wildest imagination the first 3 years of our marriage that we would be doing something like this?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been just like so far from impossible that it wouldn't have been amazing. But honestly, if people will do things God's way because of their love for God, no matter how hard it is, God will pay you back. He will reward you. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 that God will give you double blessing for your farmer trouble. And it even says he'll give you honor for the shame that you had. And so God is faithful to his word. And I just want to say again, I'm repeating myself, but be willing to do things God's way, no matter how hard it might be. And you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life.
Yeah. Thank you both so much.
All right,
and you guys too. Thank you for sharing. I just think it's so important and so helpful for people who are with us here. And we also have a free Bible study that you can do online that is called Keys to a Stronger Marriage. And I think you're going to love it. You can go to joycemeyer.org and find out more about that. It's free. It's there to help you. It will tell you more about what God's Word says and help you plug into that power of the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about all along. We also want to invite you to something extremely exciting. And Joyce is going to be the headliner of our women's conference, which is coming up, the Love Life Women's Conference, October 8th and 9th. It's an online event, and Joyce is going to be fun.
It is. It is. And you know, even though we've got COVID and pandemics, and we've found ways to work around that and keep ministering the word to people, and we've had so many people join us on these online events, and you know, God is just making it work beautifully. So I really do want to encourage you to join us. It's going to be on Friday night and Saturday morning. And we have other people speaking as well as me. And it's just
so
it's going to be
great. Many fun guests this time. It's going to
be really
great.
Good.
And you can get it on demand. So you can watch it after that and share it with friends. And I hope that all of you will be there because it will be so much fun. Go to joycemeyer.org/lovelife21. To register right now. Just don't even wait on anything else. Go do it. Go do it right now because we all want to see you there. And also go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout to sign up for our friends list. It's a great way to be reminded of what episodes are coming out and when and all the fun stuff. Get some behind the scenes thing. Thank you all very much again for being with us.
Thank you.
We love you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave,
You're
for
welcome.
Being our
Thank
first
you.
Male
it
guest.
It wasn't that bad, right? It wasn't that bad.
No, first
we were good
guest.
Gals.
I was surprised
know?
I got words in.
You did. You did. You got lots of words
yeah,
in.
I did.
He sat down
right.
and he goes,
that's
I don't know, it's a little girly.
Today.
Yeah, he's like, it's prissy in here.
I told him that's all he's getting today. He said all he gets to say.
And we're going to close out today with a special little story as told by Joyce and Dave that we know you're going to love.
We open a new safety deposit box and we want to put a couple of our kids on it. And so Dave and my one son-in-law was on it, and so my son-in-law says to me, well, I have one key and Dad's got the other key, and so you're going to have to find his key so when you take it to get the other two kids on there, and I didn't have my name on there yet, that, you know, you'll be able to get into it and do whatever you need to do. So I went to Dave and said, where's the key to the safety deposit box? I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? You got the other key. He says, I don't know. I said, well, Steve said he gave it to you. You got one when you went to the bank. Where's it at? I don't know. So for 3 days, I'm like, find the key. Look for the key. Where's the key? Find the key. So he finally starts searching everything. Could not find the key anywhere. Anyway, okay. So for 2 days, I'm thinking, well, I bet if it would have been in the key to your golf bag, you'd know where it was. Uh-huh. Yep. Now, I know you don't think like that, but I would find myself thinking, I'd find myself thinking, be nice if you just be a little bit more responsible when it comes to this kind of stuff. And then I'd think, no, Joyce shouldn't think that. No. And oh, then I'd want to say something so bad. How many of you know when you're just like, you just want to say it so bad, but you know if you do, you're going to start something. And it's like, peace. Okay, so we couldn't find the keys. So I told my son-in-law, okay, find out, you know, if we can get other keys. They said, oh, no, we only give out 2 keys. If you want a new key, you got to drill the lock out of the box. It's going to cost you $200 to get a new lock and get new keys. So I go back to him. It is going to cost $200 for us to drill this out. And I said, you know, this happened once before. The last time we had a safety deposit box, you also lost the key, and we had to drill the lock out, and we could not find it. You should have kept up with that key. So I'm going upstairs one morning, and I thought, I wonder if I have that key. Go away.
Listen. I sat there as long as I could sit. This is my story. She's got this mentality that I am right. I am always right.
Oh, and you don't have that mentality?
I'm talking now.
Pray for me right now. Pray for me.
Anyway, she's all this time she's told me I've got the key. So I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking everywhere for the key. And I looked for it for 4 days, on and off. On the fourth day, I'm sitting at the breakfast table with her, and she says, did you find that key? Have you looked for the key yet? In different places. And I said, I haven't looked at the office yet. I'm going to look at the office, in my desk at the office. And she says, you sure it's not somewhere else? I said, no, I've looked everywhere else. And so she got up from the breakfast table, and as she was leaving the table, this thought came to me, what if she's got the key? Now that is the Holy Ghost. I knew it immediately. That's the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah, you got a word of knowledge, right?
And as she was going upstairs to her office, the same thought came to her. You know, I better check my closet just to see. And she goes in her closet. Well, I had called my son-in-law and asked him what the key looked like so I could identify it, you know, when I look for it. And she comes out of her closet holding this key, dangling it. And of course, I recognize it right away. And she says, is this the key? I said, and our armor bearers is in the kitchen. And immediately I said, praise the Lord. And she had egg all over her face. Now.
And he has not let me forget it.
I said,
you maintain peace by having a humble attitude.
I said, hey, you haven't been maintaining peace up for a long time. Anyway, not only does she find that key, but then she goes back and finds the other key from years before. So she,
I had both of them.
She did not only have egg on her face, she was buried in egg. And I was so thankful. And I said, Lord, thank you. That'll take care of me for a couple years.
Oh, shut up.
We hope you'll subscribe to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out wherever you listen to or watch your favorite podcasts. Also, go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout because there you can review previous episodes, get to know us a little better, and sign up for our friends list where you'll receive exclusive content. While you're there, check out today's free resource.